So what is it that we seek in life? Even after we have the necessities of life, food and shelter, human beings continue to reach for more. But do we really think about what we're searching for and why, how we're going to find it, whatever it is? Maybe we seek wealth. Many people do. Having a lot of things can provide a measure of physical comfort. It indicates to society that, at least by society's standards, we're a success. Or we might seek power, the ability to control life, to protect ourselves by manipulating things and events and others. Or maybe we seek knowledge and wisdom, wanting to build a better world. Or maybe we seek love and community, wanting to belong and to build relationship. Whatever it is that we are searching for, I tend to agree with the famed psychiatrist Viktor Frankl that in the end, it really boils down to a pursuit of meaning, which Frankl understands as the fundamental human drive. And personally, I think this human pursuit of meaning, the desire to feel like we matter, the need to be fulfilled, is what separates us from the other animals. It's what makes us uniquely human. To find meaning in life is to find our purpose. It gives us direction. It puts us on a path that leads us to becoming the uniquely wonderful and amazing people that God created us to be. In other words, it leads us to wholeness, uniting us with divine will. It gives us a sense of universal connection, bringing us joy and peace. And I can't tell anyone what their meaning in life is. No one can tell anyone else that. It's unique to the individual. It might even evolve over one's lifetime. But I think we can talk about the journey to find that meaning, to find our wholeness. That's our spiritual journey. And there are common things that we all experience on that journey. And I think today's scriptures have some wisdom for us as we walk that path. In our gospel reading today, we're told that a group of people have asked to see Jesus. And we don't really know what they want. But it's likely more than just to lay eyes on him. They want to do more than just see him. The Greek word translated as see can also imply something deeper, that they want to perceive Jesus. They want to know him better. They've probably heard about this itinerant preacher and are trying to figure out what all the hubbub is about. Perhaps they're searching for meaning in their own lives and want to know if Jesus has the answers that they seek. But Jesus' response to their request seems a little strange to me. Instead of saying yes or no, he will or won't speak to them, Jesus replies that the hour has come for the chosen one to be glorified. And my thought whenever I read that is, well, what kind of answer is that? Well, if we think about it a little bit, maybe it is a kind of answer. Perhaps Jesus is saying that it is time for him to be seen, not just by this group of strangers, but by the world. After all, to glorify someone is to lift them up, to sing their praises and highlight their goodness for everyone to see. And Jesus goes on, seemingly forgetting about these strangers. He goes on and kind of explains what it means for the chosen one to be glorified. But I'm not sure Jesus has really forgotten about those people that asked to meet with him. As we hear what Jesus says, I think we should also consider his words as an answer to their request, as an answer to our seeking, our search for meaning, as wisdom and guidance for our spiritual journey. Now, Jesus begins this expansion of his thoughts with a metaphor, noting that a grain of wheat must fall to the ground or die if it is to grow and produce a new harvest. And of course, we know that grain of the wheat doesn't really die when it falls to the ground. But the point is that it must undergo change and transformation in order to grow and to become something else, to become what it's intended to become. If the wheat remains exactly as it is, connected to the stalk, that will actually be the death of the wheat. But if it separates and falls away and is nourished in the ground, it will grow and flourish. And we can hear this on two different levels. It's a foreshadowing of Jesus' own death and resurrection. But I think it's also wisdom for our spiritual journey. If we want to find meaning, wholeness, and abundant life, then in a way we have to separate and be transformed. Now, somehow as human beings, we seem to forget our divine nature. Forget that we are created out of God's self, out of love, and we get cut off somehow, turning to false gods. And if you would want another metaphor, think of our true self as a river that's been dammed up. And all we can see is the little trickle of water that that huge wall of the dam lets pass. Each brick of that dam is built with our own unique demons, whatever they may be, things like addiction or fear or anger. And we cling to the wall of that dam like a grain of wheat clinging to its stalk, fearful of change, because that wall is all we have ever known. But if we want to grow, if we want to be healed and find wholeness, we need to separate from our false gods and demons, the demons that promise wholeness but actually keep us from our true selves. We have to let go of that dam, dismantle it, find a path around it in order to let our true divine nature flow freely once more. As Jesus says, if we love our life, if we cling to what is, we're actually losing that life. We'll miss out on what we're meant to be. But if we hate our life, which really means if we reject our life, if we let go of what holds us back, separating from the stalk, dismantling the dam, then we will find eternal life, whole and united with God. We'll find our true self. We need to open our hearts to change and transformation if we want to find the wholeness of an abundant life. We need to open our hearts to a new way of being. And this is what God offers the people of Israel through the prophet Jeremiah, a new way of being, a new way of being in relationship, because the old ways weren't working anymore. But God doesn't want to give up. God continues to forge new paths. And the people previously seemed to understand their relationship to God kind of in an external way, through rules on stone tablets, through ritual. But God asked them to now go deeper, to find the divine power that abides within each of them, that's been written on their hearts and on their minds. God's guidance, what Scripture calls God's law, doesn't really change. But I think God teaches us a new avenue to access that guidance, that law, to look within. And that doesn't discount other paths, but it adds to them. And it's made possible because of God's forgiveness. God promises to forgive our misdeeds, help us dismantle that dam, to offer healing of the estrangement that we feel. And forgiveness is indeed an important part of our spiritual journey. Sometimes to let go of our faults, gods, and demons, it requires asking forgiveness of God and of others and of ourselves. And sometimes it means extending forgiveness to others when they have wronged us. If there isn't forgiveness, then we continue to cling to our hurts, to the pain and trauma that created the dam that we're trying to dismantle. And beyond forgiveness, Jesus also says, Our path to wholeness means following in his footsteps. And that doesn't mean doing exactly what Jesus did. We're not all called to become itinerant preachers and healers. But I think it means walking how Jesus walked through life, with love and compassion, especially for the oppressed and those rejected by society. And we can also think about Jesus' spiritual habits, two of which spring to mind. First, Jesus frequently took time to pray by himself. And so we too might spend more time in meditation and prayer, listening for that voice within, the divine self that wants us to become who we were created to be. And that means taking time to slow down. We can't hear that voice, what we might also call the Holy Spirit, talking to us if we're busy, if we're distracted, if we're the ones that are always doing the talking. We need to spend time in silence, listening and discerning. Whether that's done in our living room or walking in nature or wherever we feel the most connected to God. Walking in Jesus' footsteps also means walking with commitment and devotion. And that's not always easy. Jesus admits his soul is troubled by where his path is leading. It makes him vulnerable. It involves taking risks. And yet he continues. He continues because although being the loving teacher and healer that he was, caused problems with the authorities who felt challenged by that life, it was his true self. He was living out of his wholeness, out of his unity with God. Opening our heart also means becoming vulnerable, taking some risks, sharing ourselves, our hopes and dreams, as well as our fears and foibles, sharing them with God and with each other. Part of letting go of what is also to embrace new things. We might try new things and new ideas. We can take a class or read a book that we wouldn't normally read and ask ourselves, is it speaking to our heart? Do these new things make us passionate? Do they stir up love and compassion, the qualities of Jesus within us? And if they do, they might be a part of our path. And then Jesus ends what he's been saying by seemingly speaking to the culmination of his journey. He states that the ruler of this world will be overthrown, that when he is lifted up, he will draw all people to himself and thus to God. And again, I think we can understand this in two ways. Jesus is, as the author of the gospel points out, in a way indicating his death to come and the effect it will have on the world. But I think he's also speaking to the culmination of the spiritual journey. When he speaks of the ruler of the world, I have the image of those false gods and those demons that serve to keep us from God and our true selves. And as we walk this journey, though they are overthrown. The grain seed drops away from the stalk. The dam is dismantled. And as we become more of our whole selves, we too are lifted up. For Jesus, being lifted up can refer to his crucifixion, as the gospel implies, but it also brings up the image of his resurrection, being lifted up from death, and his ascension, being lifted up to be united with God. And as we become our whole selves, are we not also lifted up out of a kind of spiritual death, lifted up closer to God? And in this lifting up, we too glorify God, becoming witnesses through our lives, through our love and our joy and our peace, witnesses to the world, drawing the world closer to God and its healing and wholeness. May it be so. Amen.